I'm sorry, I might have to make you move again because you cannot see me. And if I stand up there, there's not much space. And if I stand on the second step where you could see me, I will fall. And let me make sure. No, none of you want to see me fall. So if there's space a little bit forward, you can move forward. If not, then hopefully we'll have a new stage set up sometime in the near future, and that problem will be solved. We started a series last week in the Psalms. It's called Above and Beyond, Chasing After a Big God. And last week, we spent some time talking about repentance. And the elders came up here and repented of certain things that were a part of the church for many years and that were even in their own, in our own lives. And we also invited and encouraged people here to repent as well. And repenting, in its core, is a turning away from something towards something else. And so last week, we identified what the things we were turning from were. And now we need a new orientation. So starting this week and for the following weeks, we're going to be defining what that orientation is and chasing after a big God. And today, we turn to happiness. Happiness. Yes, happiness. Okay. Happiness is not something that's spoken a lot about in the church, but it's something that's spoken a lot about in society. Thank you. There's research, there's TED Talks, there's songs about it. In fact, last summer there was a hit song, aptly entitled Happy, by Pharrell. And it was very catchy, and we talked about having it play today. I don't know if that happened or if it might happen, but it's a really upbeat and happy song. In a survey conducted in the United States a few years ago, that's been conducted over the course of a number of years, only 30% of people identify themselves as very happy. So there's a lot of money put into this. How can we increase that percentage? There's studies done by psychological bodies, economic bodies, social organizations. Like I said, there are TED Talks. If you've never watched a TED Talk, it's like the insight of a genius condensed into 12 minutes. So check it out. There's a lot of good ones there. And it's part of our pop culture. It's in songs, it's in books, it's in movies. But in church, it's not talked about that much. Now, why would that be? Well, I think it's because when we think of happiness or happy, the word happy, we think of this feeling, this momentary feeling that causes us to smile or to feel good. And if you're honest with yourself and if you live in the world that we live in, you know that you don't always feel that. We don't always feel happy. There's pain. There's suffering. There's depression. There's loss. There's a whole range of emotions that we feel. And so instead of talking about happy in church, we talk a lot about joy. Because we can sort of make that into something that's there in spite of all the other feelings. And we talk about contentment. But we don't talk a lot about happiness. But there must be something more to it than just an emotion or a feeling, because it's good. I mean, when you feel happy, it feels good. And if it's good and pure, then it must have its origin in God. And therefore, we must have something to say about it. And if that definition that we have, that's momentary and feeling-based, isn't enough, then the response isn't to renounce happiness, but to reframe it, to correctly define it, so that then we can reclaim it. Because it must be part of God's will for the world he created. Because happy is good. So let's start by reframing it. And I'll read this. It's a long quote. It says, "What is happiness? The most useful definition is more like satisfied or content than happy in its strict bursting with glee sense. It has depth and deliberation to it. It encompasses living a meaningful life, utilizing your gifts and your time, living with thought and purpose. It's maximized when you also feel part of a community and when you confront annoyances and crises with grace. It involves a willingness to learn and stretch and grow, which sometimes involves discomfort. It requires acting on life, not merely taking it in. It's not joy, a temporary exhilaration, though I don't necessarily agree with that definition of joy, or even pleasure, that sensual rush, though a steady supply of those feelings course through those who seize each day. So while happiness is not limited to that sort of feeling, it includes it. It encompasses it, and it is broader. It is so much more. It includes contentment. It includes joy. It includes the feeling of satisfaction. It includes being part of a community. It includes giving of the best of what you have, putting that out there. It includes engaging life and not disconnecting. Now, this definition is found in a psychological magazine, a psychological journal, but it matches in some ways with the way Scripture frames it. So we're going to take a look at Scripture today. We're going to look at the Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 1, so you can find it. It's in your pew Bible. That's Psalm 527. Psalm 1, page 527. I just multiplied the Psalms there. So page 527. Now, for those of you who've been around, you know this. For those of you who haven't, this might be news to you, but the Bible wasn't written originally in English. What we have is a translation. And, you know, translation is part science, part art, part individual prerogative. Because most languages don't have a one-to-one correlation with another language. And that's the case with Hebrew and English and probably all the other languages that the Psalms have been translated in. So a translator has to make some choices when he's translating. And our translators have done a fairly good job, but they make some choices. The thing is that when they make those choices in the 1500s or the 1800s or the 1900s in whatever part of the world they are, they're translating based on what they understand that people will get. So there are words that might have multiple meanings or multiple words that correlate in English, but they make clear choices. Today as we read the psalm, I am going to choose to read one particular word differently. Now, I'm not changing what it means. I'm simply making a different translation choice than the one in your Bible. It correlates, it corresponds, but I think it might shed a little bit of light on what the psalm means in a different way than what we've looked at it before. So again, Psalm 1, it's in your pew Bible. If you're not using your pew Bible, it's probably in a different version, but that's okay. Listen up and catch maybe the one key word that's very, very different from the one that's in your Bibles. Ready? Let's go. Happy is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that gives its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. Everything he does prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, there were a bunch of words that were slightly different, but I think there was probably one that stood out very different. Anyone want to take a guess of what that might have been? Yes, thank you. The first one, happy. The word that we see here translated as blessed can also be translated as happy. And when you read it using happy, the psalm takes a different meaning. Because at least for me, when I think of blessing, I think of something that's given to me. And so when I'm told that blessed is the person who doesn't do these things, I think, okay, well then it's a checklist. I don't do these things, and then I receive this other thing, blessing. But it doesn't work that way with happy. Because that's not something that's given. That's a state of being. And so then it forces me to dig deeper and say, okay, what is the type of person that's being described here? What does it mean not to receive happy, but to be happy, to be a happy person, to live in happiness? Now, Psalms are poetry, so we're not going to go verse by verse and say this means this, this means that, this means that, but rather we're going to take it and see how does it develop and what does it explain. And this particular psalm develops by contrast. And so we'll take a look at what's getting contrasted here. So there are two groups of people that are getting contrasted. The first group of people are people who follow the advice of those that seek no good for them. These are the wicked. They hang out with those that are in it for themselves. We translate that as the word sinners. But in Hebrew culture, someone who sins is doing damage to the community all the time. There's always a communal context to it. So they're out for themselves. And the word scoffers or mockers are people who talk themselves up while talking others down. They interpret other people's experience through their own eyes in order to better themselves. And what does it say about them? It says they leave nothing good, no good legacy. It's the simile of the chaff, the illustration of the chaff. What happens with the chaff, it's a sort of the waste of the wheat. It's good for nothing. And when they throw things up, the wheat up, which is the image that you're seeing up there, the chaff gets blown away because it's good for nothing. It's like it was never there. These type of people are people whose lives just don't stand up to the test of time. They fade. And happiness is not ascribed to them. And it makes sense, right? I mean, you listen to what does it mean? Think about what it feels like to be in the council of the wicked or hanging out with the sinners. Not just spending time with them to get to know them, but actually living like them, doing damage to the community, or to look at other people and put them down in order to create value for yourself. That feels icky. That feels gross. That clearly is not happy. Now, I'm not talking about the moments of sadness we feel. I want to reiterate that. I'm not talking about depression. This is a bearing of life. It is a life direction that is completely in this direction of putting yourself above others, of mocking, of leaving nothing good behind, of caring only for yourself. So those people aren't happy. So what is the contrast? The contrast is people who chase after God with total abandon. That's what it means when it says that they delight in the law of the Lord and meditate in it day and night. They chase after this big God with reckless abandon. They put all their energy behind that. Now, we read meditate law of the Lord and we think, okay, well, that's reading your Bible every day, but it's much deeper than that. The word law there doesn't just mean the text. It means the orientation, the path of your life, the direction in which you're going. And these people, they go after it with all they've got. Nothing holds them back. They live connected to the source. It's the image of the tree planted by streams of water. They're deeply engaged with the Father of their souls, with the God that loves them. They're engaged in healthy cycles and pattern. Notice that it doesn't say that they give fruit all the time. They're in seasons. So there are times when they are putting out and giving for others, and there are times when they are resting, replenishing, recovering. We talked about rest a few weeks ago. Perhaps some of you need a reminder that to be connected to the source involves engaging in regular patterns of rest. There are people who are safe for others. The idea of a tree whose leaves does not wither would have been music to the ears of people in desert culture, because when you're in the desert, when the sun is hitting down on you, oh, A tree that gives you shade is the best place you can find. And these people are compared to trees whose leaves are always there. They never wither. They always have a safe place for people. They always have something that they can provide. Today we're going to have a chance to be like trees whose leaves do not wither. We're going to collect the benevolent offering, which is essentially our way of gathering up our resources to those who are looking for shade in the midst of the deserts of their lives. So in that, when we collect that offering a little bit later, be the type of person whose leaf does not wither. And what we read as, in everything they do, they prosper, can be best understood as that no matter what comes, they thrive. And so here's where it comes into account. What happens when we feel sad? What happens when adversity comes? What happens when we feel attacked? Those things will pass because our bearing is with God and we will thrive. They leave a good legacy. They're not the chaff, they're the wheat. And it tells us that they're well acquainted with God. God knows them intimately. When it says that he knows the way of the righteous, is that he's right there with them. And these people, friends, are happy. These people are giving of their lives. They're experiencing the emotions of happiness at times. They're experiencing the joy at times. They're experiencing the rush at times. But it's more. They're directed in a good life. They're directed and they're oriented and engaging in the life of chasing after a big God. Tom Baudet said that a person needs just three things in order to be truly happy in this world. And it summarizes what we've talked about. They need someone to love, something to do, and something to hope for. For those who are chasing after this big God, who are enjoying this happy life, they have someone to love, many people to love. They've been given things and they have something to do. And they have something to hope for when the momentary situations do not feel good or happy. Because it's not that they're not there, but it's that they won't be there forever. Good is coming. Good is coming. Today the invitation is to live a life chasing after a big God, because that is the life of happiness, friends. And it's what's being offered for you today. It's the life that you are invited into. And don't you want that? Don't you want to live for more than just putting yourself, comparing yourself to others, or following bad counsel, or getting used and depleted? Don't you want to be connected to the source that renews you time and time again, that allows you to be good for others, that's also good for you, that allows you to be not only a safe place, but be around people who are safe as well? Then today's a good time to grab onto that, to step away from the counsel of the wicked or the way of sinners or the seat of scoffers, those things that make us feel yucky, and orient your life around God. During the fall, I can't help but think of college freshmen, probably because I work in campus ministry, and this is the time where they're coming in, but also because freshman year was really crucial for me. It's the year that I became a follower of Jesus. And every year, I just think of who I was when I became a freshman. I just want to go back and smack myself, but I think about the critical change that happened when I encountered Christ, because it's like, as I look back, it's like I can see two paths that diverged. And I can track what would have been and who I would have been. And I would have been successful. I probably would have been prosperous. I probably would have done well on all the metrics of life, but I wouldn't have been happy. I would have been miserable, because all of that is passing. But I look at the life that I have now and the path that I am going, and even though we've been through tough times, I know that happiness is there. I know that happiness is for me. And friends, it's there for you today, if you'll take it. I'd like you to spend a couple of minutes just focusing on this image and listening to my voice. Because what's incredibly intriguing about this exercise of chasing after a big God is that we're not chasing after nothingness. We're not chasing after the unattainable. We're chasing after a God that's also seeking us out. A God whose voice pierces through eternity and asks us the question, where are you? Because God wants to know you. So today, as you look at that image, consider the question that God invites you to consider. Where are you? How does it feel there? Does it feel icky? Does it feel like you're caught in quicksand or in mud and can't get yourself out? Does it feel like all the voices around you are not seeking your good? Does it feel like there's no hope? Like it's never going to get better? If it does, then let me invite you to find hope in this image. Because God is calling you to be connected to Him. To be renewed and replenished. To be able to give out. To be able to help those in need. God is calling us, friends, into happiness. And it's here for you today. It's the life of chasing after a big God. So today, as you're considering your bearing, would you set a course to happiness? Would you set a course towards God? And if that's what you need to do, there'll be people up here at the end of the service who are more than happy to pray with you and walk you through it, or you can grab one of us elders or leaders in the church nearby. Don't go out of here feeling icky, yucky, feeling in the muck. God has delight and happiness for you. Don't miss it. It's here for you today. Let me pray for you. Father, may we embrace your call into real happiness. May you renew us. May you clean us off from the stuff that's gotten hold of us. From the voices that have influenced us into bad paths, that have taken us away from the happiness you want us to experience. We want to be the kind of people who leave a good legacy, whose lives don't just vanish, who contribute something. We need it for ourselves. We need it for the people around us. We need it for this town. And for our classmates. So, Father, we need you. Make it so, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As the worship team plays, the welcome team is going to come up, and they are going to collect the benevolent offering. So here's your time to be a tree whose leaf does not wither. God bless you.